Welcome to the Transform Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Powers. In our recent election in the United States, people on both sides of the political aisle were touting their candidate as a solution for what ails the country. However, as we have said before again and again, politicians are not the solution to what ails America. Jesus is the solution. In today's episode, Dr. Matthew Lee Smith, lead pastor at Pacific Baptist Church in El Segundo, California, will show us that there are four unshakable truths about God that will bring hope to those struggling in hopelessness. Please open your Bible to Isaiah 7 as we discover that God is with us.
We are continuing in our study of God is with us. I'm surprised how many people don't realize that. They don't see that. And they don't sense that. Of course, it's not so much of a surprise, of course, when you look at what happened this week and people begin to wonder. Shady Hook tells us, you know, that there is evil in the world and people are concerned and people are worried. And why is God allowing this? I always get a tickle out of atheists. That's one of their first lines. Why would God allow this? And I always say, why do you even think that thought? I thought you didn't believe there was a God, and so that's kind of strange. A couple of my atheist friends had a hard week this week after they started throwing those ridiculous things around, and I said, oh, so you are not an atheist, are you? And all of a sudden it got real tough. It was just a really hard week for them. It is hard to explain evil in the world unless you understand that there is a devil, and there are demons, and we talked about that just a few weeks ago. And you want to go back and you want to go on to our website and you want to pick that message up. What do you do when Satan's constantly attacking and how do you defend against that? You got to get real here, folks. You got to live in the real world. God does not withhold evil. God protects his people. He shelters them. And sometimes he allows them to die in horrific situations for his glory in some ways we cannot even begin to comprehend. And you just have to get real. Now, the question I've always asked about Christians is what's so bad about heaven? People don't want to go there who are Christians. A whole bunch of people this week when Shady Hook happened, and I want to tell you it was the most vile thing I've seen. I mean, shooting little kids. That's evil. That's evil. But for Christians, we need to understand that there is a heaven. There is a heaven. And if you've been listening at all, some of those folks were talking about how their loved ones are now in glory and they were Christians and they'd already come to Christ. You've heard some of those testimonies. We have a hope, don't we?
Amen.
And it's Christ. But you can see why people are worried in this world. I mean, we're coming to the fiscal cliff and here we come. And you've heard me say already, anytime you can get the government to stop spending money is a good thing. And so I'm not so afraid of the fiscal cliff. But the fiscal cliff is kind of like a car hurtling off the Grand Canyon with people inside and arguing about everything except the cliff. And so, you know, if you and I were in the car together and we were hurtling towards the cliff of the Grand Canyon, what do you think we would do? We would probably work together to what? Stop the car. We would cooperate. We would try to get things. But you know that politics is not about cooperation. In fact, many people have taken and went back to the root of the Greek words politics, and they've broken it into the two things, and poly meaning many, and ticks meaning blood-sucking insects, and realize that that's the way politics is. They're always after your money. They're always after your money. They're always after your money. And so it doesn't matter whether you're Democrat, Republican, or Independent. You just want more money to spend. And it's kind of like a drunken rage of credit card, gold, platinum credit cards going on. And we just have to realize that that endangers us. That endangers us. And we have to be paying attention and praying about these things. Now, you know that in the recent election, both sides promised to help us. Okay? Both sides promised that if their team would win, it would be better. Okay? And I sure hope you didn't fall for that. That's one of the oldest ruses in the book. There's only one solution that's going to help us, and that's Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the only solution that's going to help us. And if you've ever wondered what goes on with national leaders, and you've ever tried to figure out what happens behind the scenes, let me just share with you just a little slice of what I learned when I was in the Model United Nations in high school. We were Model United Nations. We had to learn how government works as part of our curriculum. And so as we went to these things, we learned all sorts of things about nobody ever wants to cooperate unless they can have their way. That's basically what you learn. No one wants to cooperate unless they can have their way. Compromise is a dirty word a lot of times for people, and they don't want to work together. And what I learned from Model United Nations was real simple as a brand new believer in Christ is that hope comes from heaven, not from the government. Folks, your hope isn't from Washington, D.C. Your hope is from the throne room of God. And that's what we learn in this message today, is that hope doesn't come from your leaders. And we enter into the throne room of King Ahaz. And King Ahaz, he was, well, we would call him today an equal opportunity idolater. In fact, just read along with me and follow along if you want to. 2 Chronicles tells us instead he followed the example of the kings of Israel. He cast metal images for the worship of Baal. Baal is the god of mastery, if you will. I'm going to run your life. Verse 3 says, he offered sacrifices in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, even sacrificing his own sons in the fire. In other words, he put his kids in the fire. That's kind of a Molech worship, okay? And then we see this. He followed the detestable practices of the pagan nations the Lord had driven from the land ahead of the Israelites. In other words, he was an equal opportunity idolater. He offered sacrifices and burnt incense at the pagan shrines and on the hills and under every green tree. Today we would say he's very spiritual. But the Bible says he was just a pagan, infidel, reprobate, idolater. He was awful. Now, he's been in office for 1 year. He's 21 years old. And let me just tell you five things that are going on at this moment. He's the king of Judah. That's David's clan. The clan after God's own heart. But he's the king of the southern tribes in the civil war that's been going on for 200 years. We had 5 years of civil war in America and almost did us in. 200 years the civil war has been going on. Second thing is that the king of Aramea, is Rezin, and he's joined with the north in the civil war. And they've created an alliance. In fact, King Ahaz was asked to join the alliance to get rid of Assyria, which was the big bully to the north. And Ahaz rejected that offer. And as a result of that, the northern alliance decided they would take him out first, as a little practice, target practice, if you will. 2 Chronicles 28 says, just listen, because of all this, the Lord his God allowed the king of Aram to defeat Ahaz and to exile large numbers of his people to Damascus. The armies of the king of Israel also defeated King Ahaz. Okay, 200 years this thing's going on. He's rejected the offer, remember? Okay, he's suffering now. The armies of the king of Israel also defeated Ahaz and inflicted many casualties on his army. In a single day, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, that's the north, Israel's king, killed 120,000 of Judah's troops. All of them experienced warriors because they had abandoned the Lord, because they had abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors. In other words, being spiritual doesn't help you very much if you're not walking with God. Then Zichri, a warrior from Ephraim, killed Maaseiah, the king's son. Azricam, the king's palace commander, and Elkanah, the king's second in command. And the armies of Israel captured 200,000 women and children from Judah and seized tremendous amounts of plunder, and they took back Samaria. Now, it is in that backdrop, if you would turn to Isaiah chapter 7, it is in that backdrop that we read the following words. This took place during the reign of Ahaz, son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, king of Aram, along with Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, waged war against Jerusalem. But he could not succeed. I don't know, he did pretty good damage, wouldn't you say? 120,000 dead, 200,000 women and children taken, key people killed, including his son, lots and lots of valuables just plundered, but he couldn't succeed. You may have a difficult situation. It may look like the end is here. But I want you to notice that he couldn't succeed. Now look at verse 2. When it became known to the house of David that Aram had occupied Ephraim, that's one of the tribes, the heart of Ahaz and the hearts of his people trembled like trees of a forest shaking in the wind. You get the picture? Government's messed up. The man running the country doesn't have a clue what to do. He worships idols, a foreign god. He's not walking with the Lord. The situation is more than grave. Destruction is more than possible. And not only are the people afraid, the leaders are afraid. Everyone's afraid. And that's when God steps in. It may look dark. And in the midst of all the fear, God steps in. Verse 3, read it with me. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out with your son Shear Jashub to meet Ahaz at the end of the conduit of the upper pool by the road to the fuller's field. Say to him, calm down and be quiet, and don't be afraid or cowardly because of these two smoldering stubs of firebrands, the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and the son of Remaliah. I wanted you, if you're going to fill in the blanks, I want you to get this, that God is present with you when you are threatened. There is a God in heaven who pays attention to what's going on in your life. God knows how bad the situation is. He knows how dark it is. It may be dark because of our failure. But there is a God who's paying attention to what's going on in your life, even when you're not paying attention to what's going on with God. And so, I don't know if you caught this, but this is so key. Listen, when Congress doesn't know what to do, when the Senate ain't got a clue, when they want to argue, and when the Supreme Court wants to rewrite the laws of the land, God is with us. Amen. Can you catch Yahweh's counsel? I love what Yahweh says. You see, God is with us all the time. And when life looks awful, this is what He says. Calm down. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, calm down. I love that. And be quiet. I'm scared of. You know what be quiet means, right? That's a translator's way of translating something that... Exactly, that's what it says. Calm down, shut up. No, we don't put that in the English translation because too many people get upset about the gravity of the truth. They don't like it when it's written the way it was written. But the Bible was written in a language that the common people understood. God speaks in the original language with great coarseness. Calm down, be quiet, don't be afraid, and don't be cowardly. I love that. I love that. He said, because of these two, what? Stubs of firebrands. You know, when you go camping and you put the wood in the fire and it burns almost down and all that's left is those little teeny ends of the wood, that's what he's talking about. These two people are terrifying you to death. They're just like the ends of wood in a campfire. That's all they are. That's all they are. Now, in case you didn't write them down, there are four strategies when you're threatened. When you're threatened, God is with you. Four strategies. Number one, you need to calm down. In other words, you need to calm down and regain your faith. God is with us. Regain your faith. Second, you need to be quiet. You need to regain the relationship you've walked away from, because the evidence that you are not near is you are in fear. Let me say it again, you ought to write it in white space. The evidence you are not near is you are in fear. 365 times from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible says, fear not, do not be afraid. I, the Lord your God, am with you. The third thing you need to do is you need to not be afraid. You need to regain your trust. I am the Lord, I change not. God is in charge, nothing's changed. And you need to not be cowardly. You need to regain your spirit. In other words, what we learn here in this passage from God Himself is that we need to get a grip on ourselves and on our faith. You see, fear shows us that our faith is lacking. Ralph Waldo Emerson says, the wise man in the storm prays to God, not for safety from danger, but for deliverance from fear. It is the storm within that endangers him, not the storm without. Whoa, good words. I'm here, don't fear. That's God's line. I'm here, don't fear. National crisis, I'm here, don't fear. Everything's falling apart in your life. I'm here, don't fear. Can't figure out how you're ever going to get out of the darkness. I'm here, don't fear. That's what he says. You see, basically, what this passage is telling us is that God is ahead of you in the future when your enemies are destroyed. I don't know if you caught that or not, but he told them not to be afraid of these two national leaders who are attacking them. Don't be afraid. I want you to understand that while you're in the present, God's in your future. While you're in the present, God's in your future. He knows what's going on. He's in charge. God knows what you're going to go through, and He is trying to move you and direct you and turn you so that you are well prepared for whatever is coming. Now, there's no question that we live in a broken world. Let's just say thank you, Adam. Go ahead, say it. Thank you, Adam. Adam and Eve, little gluttony, and we were doomed. Oh, look at this beautiful food. The only one tree you're not supposed to eat out of. There were a lot of other places to eat that day. They could have stopped down at Del Taco, or they could have stopped over at McDonald's. They could have probably died sooner, but they could have stopped at a lot of places to eat. No, they got to go to the one tree that's forbidden. Right? And when sin entered the world because of that disobedience, along came with it evil, hatred, disease, disaster. And we can't change the world the way the world is. The world is the way it is. What is. But we can. We can change the way we respond to it. We can listen to the God who is in our future right now, and we can pay attention to Him and trust Him. Now listen, your enemies may be fiercely angry with you right now. Look at what it says. Say to him, calm down and be quiet and don't be afraid or cowardly because of these two smoking stubs of firebrands, the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, the son of Remaliah. I don't know what your enemies are doing to you. I don't know how mad they are. You look at them and they scare the daylights out of you, and I understand. But you need to get off of your perspective. You need to get on God's perspective. God looks at them as dead. Your enemies are dead. Your enemies are dead. They are dead. He already sees the day they die. You will live forever. They will die. He sees them dead. You need to see them dead. You need to see them dead. You see, a time is coming when you will be victorious with Him in heaven, and they will be defeated and apart from Him in hell. And you need to realize that. And I want you to know that your enemies may be plotting against you. For Aram along with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has plotted harm against you. Remember, they joined together. They were going to crush Judah. They were going to crush Judah. God knows that too. God knows the plots against you right now. God knows what's going on. That's why we read these words. Read it out loud with me. From the Bible, 2 Thessalonians 1:6. Read it nice and loud. It is righteous for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you. If you check out that passage, that affliction comes at the end of time when they fry. It is a righteous thing. Your enemies are going to die. Now, the reality is that your enemies may plan to remove you. They don't like you in your position. They don't like you at your job. They don't like the way you do things. They're just going to take you out. In the hood, they might be just drive by and take you out. I want to tell you, God isn't surprised by that either. Read with me verse 6. It says, they say, let us go up to Judah, terrorize it, and conquer it for ourselves. Then we can install Tabeel's son as king. And in other words, they're going to take you out of your position, Ahaz. They're going to kill you. They're going to wipe you out. Guys, 1 year into his position. He's 21 years old. He's an idolater and he doesn't have a clue and he's scared spitless. God knows what's going on in his life. God knows he's an idolater. God knows he doesn't listen to God. And yet God says to him, brings a special message to him and says this. Read it with me. This is what the Lord God says. It will not happen. It will not occur. You see, you may think you're the Lord of your life, but you are not. And you may be totally an idolater and you are not Lord of your life. There is only one Lord of all life. And you can run from Him, but you cannot get away from Him. You cannot serve Him, but you will follow Him. He will make that possible. Now listen, the big problem you and I have is we have a short-term view. And God has a long-term view. We are so short-sighted, all we see is our problems and we see today, and we can't see a way out. But the reality is God sees everything and He knows the end from the beginning. He knows how it's going to work out because all things work together for good to those who are called according to Christ Jesus. Everything's going to work out. God's going to take care of it. Listen, your enemies may be huffing and puffing and damaging you and ruining your reputation and killing off your possibilities and taking out parts of your life. But I want you to know that God will take out your enemies. This is what it says in verses 8 and 9. Read it with me. the head of Aram is Damascus. The head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. In 65 years, Samaria won't be, it's going to be shattered. It won't be able to do anything. You don't need to worry. Now, if you're 21, you're not too bright. Okay? I remember when I was 20. Remember when you're 21? Not too bright. You think, when you're 21, you think that today is all about today. Okay? I've learned now that I'm 55, I've learned that that isn't the case. When you're 21, you don't know too much. And that's what's going on here. Because when Ahaz heard, within 65 years, he did a mental calculation. He said, I'll be 86. What are you talking about? That's a long time away. 86? You got to be kidding me. You know what he does? When he does that, he demonstrates no faith, because faith has to have patience. We learned that today in our reading in James chapter 1. Count it great joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Of course, Ahaz didn't have any because he didn't have any faith. He was an equal opportunity idolater. He was spiritual, but he wasn't godly at all. And so looking into the immediate future, here's what happens. King Ahaz is afraid of the imminent invasion. And so he goes to the superpower, the evil superpower. He goes to Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria, and he says, help me, help me, these big bad bullies on my block are going to take me out. And Tiglath-Pileser said, I wouldn't mind at all, since you're going to pay me all this money. And so what he does is he guts all of the treasury of the temple of the Lord, and he takes the money from all the rich people and he hands it to Tiglath-Pileser. Tiglath-Pileser's accommodating. And so in that same year, he comes down and he wipes out Aram. Takes out Damascus. You know it as Syria today. And as he takes out Syria, one bully gone. You probably could have been in the throne room of Ahaz that day, goes, yay, daddy's dead, he's dead, yay, he's dead. Well, shortly after that happened, Hoshea came along and said, you moron, I can't stand the way you do things. And after 20 years of leadership, he kills him, does a coup, takes over. You could have heard Ahaz that day, oh, they're both dead already. It was just one small problem. Now the big bully's right on your border. He's not in the buffer. He's not on the other side of the buffer zone. Within 12 years, everything is gone. Syria, northern Israel, all gone. Time being, Assyria abides by this peace treaty. Tiglath-Pileser steps off the scene. And 65 years to the day, his successor, Ashurbanipal, one of the very first acts he does is he grabs whole bunches of people in Assyria and he puts them in Samaria. And he takes all the rest of the Samaritans practically out. And so the northern kingdom now is not even Jewish. You remember in Jesus' day? Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Want to know why? Ashurbanipal. This prophecy, over, the Jews are gone. The West Bank, created. Now listen, in the midst of all this mess, God knows what you're going through. God knows what you're going to go through. God understands your future. God has it all taken care of. He's working for your good. You just need to hold on, calm down, shut up, and hold on to your faith. Get a grip on your faith. That's what I have to do. Now, anybody in the room every once in a while lose their patience with God? Come on, raise your hand. He's just not on my schedule, okay? We're talking to us today. And this is what God says to us. Would you read it with me? Verse 9 says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, then you will not stand at all. If you don't hear anything else I say today, hear this. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. You will not stand at all. King Ahaz made a common mistake. He didn't trust God. He didn't trust him enough. So he goes to the powerful people, the rich people. He goes for help from Tiglath-Pileser. And the bully comes and helps himself. That's what rich bully people do. They help themselves. If you think they're helping you, they're not helping you. You can't solve a crisis, so you ask for your relatives to help you. You can't pay a bill, so you use a credit card. Yeah, you think the credit card company's helping you, right? You can't afford a home, so you ask a bank to help you. In every single one of those situations, you enter into bondage. The bully comes along, and they're not there to help you. They're there to help themselves. You remember what Solomon told us, that he was one of these guys. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower's servant to the lender. He's actually the slave, isn't he? Ooh. Hebrews 4:6 says that we're going to have to exercise some faith. We need to boldly come to the throne of grace. This is what Ahaz should have done. He should have boldly come to the throne of grace that he might obtain mercy and find help in time of need. You don't go to the bully, you go to God. I don't go to the bully, I have to go to God. Ahaz, stop going to the bully, go to God. And in the process of Ahaz doing this, he basically puts a knife to the throat of his nation and he basically kills it. Listen, when you step away from God and seek help from someone else, you're basically putting a knife to your throat and killing off your generations. And that's what happens here. Remember what he said? If you do not stand firm in your faith, what? Then you will not stand at all. You got to make a choice. You may be asking the question today, where is God? Well, the answer is God is surrounding you in the present when you need encouragement. God is here. God is near. If you are in fear, you need to remember that God is near. God is here. Now, Ahaz panics. Right in the midst of his panic, we read this. Would you read it with me? Then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz. Ask for a sign from the Lord your God, from the depths of Sheol to the heights of heaven. He says, God says, I know you're scared. Ask me to do something that'll prove to you that I am here. Listen, I know there's a great popular thing inside of present-day churchianity that says you ought not ask God for signs. That's lunacy. The Bible's constantly talking about this. You need to get a little help from God. When your faith is low, ask Him to show. I know what this is like. I know people argue about it all the time. Listen, I was trying to figure out if I should marry this woman. And I was asking God, is this your will? You know, I messed up and I thought that the lady I was dating was the one I was supposed to be with. I don't have a clue. What do you want me to do? You're going to have to give me a sign. In fact, you're just going to have to point with an arrow from heaven that says, this is the one. And so I'm going out with Melody and we're going down to the lake and we're walking. We're coming back and we're on the corner of Chicago and Clark. And on the corner of Chicago and Clark, my shoe is untied. And so it's the red, you know, I can't walk. And so I kneel down and I start to tie my shoes. The God honest truth, you can ask my wife, who's now here and was there at the moment. And she said something to me, and I've always had a little trouble hearing. And I said, what? And I looked up. She's standing where the Coke bottle was supposed to be on the sign. And there's an arrow pointing out that says, this is the one. That's the God honest truth. I'm telling you, you need a sign. Tell God what you need. You need God to show because your faith is low. Do not fear. God is near. Just ask. Just ask. And He will do it. And you know, Ahaz, what did we say? He was an equal opportunity idolater, and that he was today, we would call him spiritual, but he wasn't very godly. And so he was listening and he was trying to figure out what was going on. And then finally, this is what he said. I will not ask. I will not test the Lord. Now that's what you hear in churchianity today. I will not test the Lord. Okay? Now it sounds very spiritual, as Ahaz was. Very spiritual. He just wasn't very godly. Jesus wasn't Lord because he wasn't doing anything about the Lord. He just gave lip service to the Lord. He was spiritual. God sends him help. And in reality, this answer isn't spiritual. It's rebellion. God gave him a direct command. Ask me for a sign. Oh, I wouldn't do that. I want to ask you a question right now. When you're in the midst of your fear, what are you not doing that God's already told you to do? You've got a whole book full of stuff. What's He told you to do you're not doing? It's not spiritual not to do it. It's rebellion. Been there, done that, got the scars to prove it. Now listen, I want you to understand that God is surrounding us when we are obstinate. He is still near you. He is still trying to get in. He is still trying to help you. And Isaiah said, listen, house of David, is it not enough for you to try the patience of men? Will you also try the patience of my God? Now notice he says my God because he knows it isn't his God. Let's be clear. Rejecting a promise from God is rebellion. And that tries God's patience. We have to do what he tells us to do. And God is with you when you need hope the most. The idolaters getting, ask me for a sign. The idolaters getting, ask me for a sign. The idolaters getting this. But you need to understand that God is surrounding us even when we're belligerent. Even when we choose not to obey. God works on our behalf. You know that song, Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Ahaz could understand that. He was a wretch. I can't believe how many times that I'm just busy and I don't have time for God. Do I hear an amen? I get all worried and I forget about God. And in the midst of the amazing grace, we read this. Read it with me. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him, which means God with us. Listen, the context of the verse we're going to talk about next Sunday is this message. You can be an idolater. You can be an equal opportunity idolater. You can be spiritual, but that's rebellion against God because you haven't come to the place where you bowed your knee and you have said, I submit and I surrender. And God still is surrounding you. God still cares about your life. God is gracious. He is merciful. And he is trying to tell every single person on the planet, every person who's listening to me, he's trying to say, I am with you. I am here for you. Why won't you just listen to me? Now, hope comes from heaven. It doesn't come from your political leaders who haven't got a clue. Or those who are singing, I've got to have it my way, and then we'll compromise. That's not where it comes from. It comes from heaven. Now, this verse happened. A virgin that Ahaz knew, perhaps one of his own children, we don't know, got married, had a child, and they named him Emmanuel, which is God with us. Freaked him out. That's the context. In fact, we're told, read with me, by the time he learns to reject what is bad and choose what is good, he will be eating butter and honey. Well, this is probably 2-3 years old. And then it goes a little further, verse 16, and it says, for before the boy knows to reject what is bad and good, the land of the two kings will be dead, will be banded. Now listen, by the time he's 2-3 years at the most, 2-3 years at the most, Rezin and Pekah are going to be dead. I'm telling you, you didn't ask for a sign, I'm giving you one. Your enemies are going to be dead. By the time this little boy knows not to or to, when he knows what's right and what's wrong, by the time he's 3, at the most, they'll be dead. You know what happens 2 years later? Both dead. Your problems that are so awful today are going to be gone soon. You don't need to cower. You have a Christ. He is surrounding you with hope. And God is surrounding you even when you are hesitant. He loves you. Now, I would like to tell you that Ahaz took it as gospel and said, this God is all-powerful. This is the God I'm going to serve. He did not. And this is where the story turns dark. And when your national leaders decide to abandon the Lord, this is what will happen every time. We've watched it throughout history. Ahaz is just one example. We read this very truth in the scriptures, and we discover that a rebellious heart is hard to turn even for the Lord God himself. God has a hard time turning a rebellious heart. And so we read these words. Read with me, verse 17. The Lord will bring on you, your people, and the house of your father such a time as has never been since Ephraim separated from Judah, the king of Assyria is coming. I want to tell you, Ahaz, I'm sending the king of Assyria. You wanted the bully to come? The bully's coming. And you're going to need to know, never has it been so bad. He's going to take out the north. He's going to take out the north. Now, we have learned recently that faith is a shield. And you must use faith like a shield. I must use it if I want evil not to prosper. I have to, by faith, quench the fiery darts of the evil one. I need to be very clear that I understand that in every situation I need to take my shield of faith. And with it I will be able to extinguish all of those fiery flaming arrows of the evil one. I need to understand that without faith it is impossible to please God. Because those who come to Him must believe that He is. And that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Ahaz said, I'm not having any of that. I'm an equal opportunity idolater. I'm spiritual. No one God's in control of my life. And because of that, immediately we find out that He threw the nation into affliction. Just read with me verses 18 and 19. On that day the Lord will whistle to the fly that is at the farthest streams of the Nile and to the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And all of them will come and settle in the steep ravines and in the clefts of the rocks and in all the thorn bushes and all the water holes. Now, the fly is talking about Egypt, if you don't understand symbolic language. The soldiers of Egypt were as numerous as the flies. The bee is the ferocity with which Assyria fought. They fought like a swarm of bees. And he says, from the south, I'm sending the south, I'm sending the north, and they're going to descend on you. And they're going to be everywhere. 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 Your rebellion is going to injure all these people. We know why. Read with me James 4, 6. But he gives greater grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Ahaz decided he'd be proud. And God resists. I want you to notice God resists. He actively resists the proud person. God is fighting from heaven proud people. Today, God is fighting from heaven proud people. Well, it didn't only bring affliction, but it also brought humiliation. Read with me verse 20. On that day, the Lord will use a razor hired from beyond the Euphrates River, the king of Assyria, to shave the head, the hair on the legs, and remove the beard as well. In Israel, to have a beard, to have longer hair, is a sign of godliness. If you watch the Orthodox Jews with their flat hats with a little round top inside, they're real long, broad-brimmed, and you see them, they have these beards. This is always the way it's been in Israel. Godly men have beards in Israel. And what he's saying is basically, I'm going to just humiliate you. I'm going to humiliate you, and I'm going to use the king of Assyria that you thought was going to come and help you. I'm going to use him. Not only would there be all this humiliation and all of this affliction, there's going to be decimation. Read this. On that day a man will raise a young cow and two sheep, and from the abundant milk they give, he will eat butter. For every survivor in the land will eat butter and honey. That sounds, oh, it's prosperity. No, there's nobody to buy your stuff. They're all dead. You don't get a lot of great meals. All you get is butter and honey. That's it. And not only are you going to get... Now, Melody would like this because there would be lots of curds that way. She would just go for the curds. I mean, she loves it. Okay? There would be starvation. Read with me verse 23. Every place where there were 1,000 vines worth 1,000 pieces of silver will become thorns and briars. Oh, so there's not going to be any grapes and there's not going to be any olives. Read verse 24. And a man will go there with the bow and arrows because his whole land will be thorn and briars. In other words, there's no farmland. And you will not go to all the hills that were once tilled with the hoe for fear of the thorns and the briars. Those hills will be places for oxen to grind and sheep to trample. I mean, it's just going to be terrible. The lesson is pretty clear. God is warning you from the future when you are rebellious. God is trying to get Ahaz's attention. God is trying to, he's saying to Ahaz, I want to help you. Today, God is saying to you, in the midst of the mess we're in the nation, in the midst that we are in the mess in the world, in the midst that we are in our own personal lives, I'm here to help. I am with you. Work with me. Don't be like the two heads in Washington who are arguing as the car's going off the cliff at the Grand Canyon. Work together with God. Cooperate with Him. Now, a message like this, I just have to interject that we ought to be praying for our national leaders because they need all the help they can get. The Bible tells us to do this. It says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. And pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we might live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our leaders. We don't need to throw stones. We don't need to criticize them and constantly complain and gripe and gripe. We just need to say, God, open their eyes. We're running off the cliff here. And I don't mean just the fiscal cliff, the moral cliff. We're running off the financial cliff. We're running off the moral cliff. We're running off so many cliffs. We need people to pay attention. See, God is with us in these times of distress. We do not want to be the rebellious and doom generations after us like Ahaz did. Because today I want you to understand that our hope is from heaven. It is not from the government. Let's pray. Oh, the joys of those who trust in you, Lord, who have no confidence in the proud or in those who worship idols. Lord, my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. You have no equal. If I tried to recite all of your wonderful deeds, Lord, I would never come to the end of them. You take no delight in sacrifices or offerings. Now that you have made me listen, I fully understand. You don't require burnt offerings or sin offerings. As I looked in the scriptures, I said, Lord, I've come. I take my joy in doing your will, for your instructions are written on my heart. I want to obey and not rebel. I've told all the people here about your justice in this message. I've not been afraid to speak out, as you, O Lord, well know. I've not kept the good news of your justice hidden in my heart. I have talked about your faithfulness and your saving power today. I have told everyone in this assembly of your unfailing love and faithfulness. Lord, don't hold back your tender mercies from us. Let your unfailing love and faithfulness always protect us. For troubles surround us, too many to count. Lord, please rescue us. Come quickly, Lord, and help us. May those who try to destroy us be humiliated and put to shame. May those who take delight in our trouble be turned back in disgrace. Let them be horrified by their shame, for they say, ah, we've got them now. But may all who search for you be filled with joy and gladness in you. May those who love your salvation repeatedly shout, the Lord is great! The Lord is great! And as for us, since we are poor and needy, keep us in your thoughts. You are our helper. You are our Savior. O God, do not delay. For the name and the fame of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen.
With that biblical prayer, it is our hope that you have realized that God is with you when you need Him the most. God is seeking to bless you and move you in such a way as to bring about help in your time of need. If you would like to explore how to enjoy God's presence in one's daily life, Dr. Smith has written a daily devotional book that will help you do just that. In His Presence is a detailed look at walking with God through life's ups and downs, built around the premise that God welcomes you into His presence with joy and pleasure. In His Presence helps you see that the life of abundance can only be enjoyed when we take everything to the Lord and walk every day at His right hand. You can order a copy of In His Presence from Amazon by clicking on the link on the side panel of the Eagles and Leadership website. Today's episode was recorded in El Segundo, California, and edited by Ryan Longsworth. And now until next time, we are praying that you would be filled with the love of God so that you can demonstrate His love to the lost and dying in your city. God bless.